it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where we take time and answer questions that you've sent in, mailed in, emailed in. We've got a boatload of them, Angel. So let's just jump in.
All right, Joe. Do you think it is a sin to keep the Sabbath on Saturday? The Ten Commandments tells us to keep the Sabbath holy. How do we know what that fully means?
Well, this would be sort of a semi-long answer. When I was a child, I remember I was mowing my grass one Sunday after church. I went to church, came back home and mowed my grass, and this pickup truck, my dad's pickup, come wheeling into my driveway. My mom jumped out and she started yelling at me. I thought, what happens? Somebody dies? Somebody gets sick? What are you doing? I mean, what am I doing? Mama, not on Sunday. You don't mow your grass on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. And I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to die? Something going to happen? You know, so I shut my mower off. Well, I got 2 degrees of theology. And you realize something, it ain't that big a deal. The reason God gave the Ten Commandments was nobody could keep them. No human outside Jesus has ever kept the Ten Commandments. That's why God gave them. God knows they need my son. They don't know they need my son. So I'm going to give you some laws to fulfill, but you can't. It's going to cost you every goat and bull and calf you've got. Blood's going to run out of that tabernacle 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because you can't keep them sinning. And that was the purpose of the law, to show them you can't keep it. The reason God gave the law is you can't keep it. So when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in the temple, the veil tore top to bottom. No more bulls, no more goats, no more sacrifices. You can keep the Sabbath on Monday, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, Friday afternoon. It doesn't matter. It's God. It's all God. Now, I like going to church on Sunday. I preach every Sunday somewhere in America. And if I'm not here, I'm on Wednesday night, we go to our home church. I like going to church on Sunday, but it's not the holiest thing. It's just fellowship with the saints, learning the word of God, being taught the word of God, just hanging out. So there's no law about the Sabbath. And so the law's been done away with. All the law, it was good, it had a purpose, but the law's been done away with. Jesus is now on the scene. So that's what we're doing now.
So it's okay to keep the Sabbath on Saturday?
Sure, you can keep it on Saturday or Friday afternoon.
But there's not many churches that meet on Saturday.
No, you'd be by yourself. Yeah, because everybody be at the movie theater, at the lake, or at a restaurant somewhere.
Yeah. And the thing is, I do think it's important to be involved in a church.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
That's right.
But it's important because you can get squirrely if you don't. Everybody I have ever known that decided to do their own little church home or whatever, they tend
got
to
strange, got weird.
Yeah, because they don't have a covering. And authority is enormous to God.
Huge to
submission
God.
Submission to authority is huge to God.
Yes.
Just as it is in a family, it is in you know, the Bible in the church world.
Yes.
So
you go to church, pay your tithes, volunteer, list your pastor, take notes, be a blessing. Leave it better than you find it.
Correct. Joe, my husband has anger issues, in my opinion, as by not knowing how to control his temper. I believe in marriage and that divorce is not an option, and we have 2 kids and I want this family. However, he has laid hands on me before, and almost every time he gets mad at me, he threatens to smack me in the face or something to that extent. I've always shared my opinion that it's not okay, but he says, I make him do those things by running my mouth. How do I deal with this?
Well, if you were in my family, and I recommended it twice, I'm going to call the law. I'm going to have you arrested. You lay hands on my aunt or my cousin, you know, you hit my relative, I will call the law, and I'll be there when they pick you up. And we're going to put you under the jail. You can't go hitting on people. There's no reason for hitting on people. That makes you the thumb sucker. You're the immature one. You go hitting on an individual to make them whatever you think. That's the child. That's the thumb sucker in the family. You can't do that. You go read through, if you read through Romans, some mature people, they act a certain way. You learn how to control your temper, control your tongue, you know? So you can't let somebody be hitting on you or threaten to hit you, you know? I mean, best thing I recommend, get you a good local attorney. Just ask him for $30. He'll give you an answer. Hey, can I ask you a legal question? Well, that's my husband hits me. Well, they're going to tell you, they're going to put him in the jail and under the jail. You can't do that. And so any grown man that's mature at all realizes, you made me do it. No, nobody made you do it. You bless your little heart. That sounds like a little kindergarten class on the first day of school. Nobody made me. No, they didn't make you. You're an adult. Nobody can make an adult do anything. You chose to do it. And so I don't know his history. He's grown up with something. Something happened to him or somebody's mistreated him, done something. But it's his responsibility to roll that thing over on God and mature. It's like, I mean, there's a reason for it. There's a reason he gets upset, but we got to deal with that. Not the offshoot of that, not him hitting people. We can't have that. That's illegal, immoral, unethical. There's nothing good about that.
The thing about anger like that, it's so manipulative and controlling. And it's trying, there's so many things it's trying to do.
Like walking on eggshells. You can't have a marriage where you walk on eggshells.
No, that's not a partnership.
No.
My suggestion is you get a counselor.
Yeah.
If he won't agree to it, I think you should just by yourself.
Yes.
Because for your kids' sake and your sake,
yes.
For safety's sake, because it's not, that's a dangerous situation. You know, I mean, I've seen things escalate so fast. Just the other day, I was sitting in a parking lot at Outback. And this guy goes, beep, beep, set this car in front of him. And all of a sudden, guns start coming out. I mean, I was just shocked in a second. I didn't have time to crank up my car and move. It happened so fast. And so people today, I get it. They're on edge. They're stressed. All of that kind of stuff. But that's for each individual to control.
It is not a good day to not be a Christian.
No, it is not.
If you're not a believer, well, you got a lot to worry about.
You do. So I think that you should talk to your pastor, and I agree with Joe. If he raises a hand to you.
Oh, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
Because your kids, you can't imagine what that's doing to your kids.
Well, they're looking and
they're living in fear.
Yes. And then they're going to continue the pattern. If they don't stop it, they will. So you have a choice to stop it now.
It'll run down the third and fourth generation. This thing will get inside a family. It'll camp out. You can't let that happen.
Mm-mm.
No, we're going to stop that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to raise your voice. You're not going to raise your hand. We don't agree on everything. That's what marriage is two opposite people growing up together. You're never going to totally agree on anything, but you got to learn how to solve a problem. You know, blessed are the Matthew 5:18, blessed are the peacemakers. Actually, it's the blessed are the problem solvers. Blessed are the problem solvers. They'll be called the children of God. You need to be a problem solver, not a problem maker. So, no, you can't blame somebody else. We've done it. Listen, I've dealt with adults my whole life. You get some guy starts blaming somebody else. You're the baby. You blaming them for your misconduct. You're blaming somebody else. You're like a kindergarten. You can't do that. You're an adult. You can't blame somebody else for what you're doing. So time to grow up. It's a hard thing. You got to grow up.
And then he says that you trigger him because of your mouth. Now, I personally think that's up to him, whether he's triggered or not. But I do think when someone's in a volatile situation, you don't keep pushing and pushing.
Don't push the button.
There's times to back off and just, you know, the Bible says even the wise man, but even the foolish man looks wise if he controls his tongue.
Keep that mouth shut.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the greatest thing you could learn is to teach yourself, working on you by controlling your tongue. And then seek help to a pastor, because you and your children do.
And one thing that happens to every couple, you hear this thousands and thousands of times. Well, I'll tell you what I think. Please don't tell me what you think. You want to quote some scripture, fine, but don't tell me what you think, because it's not going to change anything. It's just going to make it worse. Not pouring gasoline on the fire. Don't tell me what you think, because it's not good unless you're going to quote some scripture. And that's biblical. Then we're biblical. Well, I think you're blessed of the Lord and highly favored. You know, it's the truth.
It is the truth. But I do want you to go ahead and get help, and at the very least, talk to your pastor.
Yes.
And your kids. I'm sure your kids know. I hate living in a home where you're always walking on eggshells. You know, the other day, Joe asked my aunt, what was Angel like as a kid? And she said, very quiet and withdrawn, because I lived in an atmosphere that was very volatile. And I didn't want to I didn't want to make waves. So I was always quiet and kind of to myself. I read a lot. That's not how you want your kid to be. You want them to flourish and you want their personality to grow.
Be bold, not afraid.
Yeah. So we just agree that pastor will have some wisdom for you. If he doesn't, go find a pastor that does.
Yeah.
Because this is very important.
Yeah. Critical.
Mm-hmm. Joe, we are recently married and want to integrate our finances, but we aren't sure the best way to do it. Are there any boundaries we should set in terms of bringing our money together and how it's used after the fact?
Angel, why don't you answer that?
We have to understand, I was 19 when I got married, and that was just normal. We didn't have any money. So to integrate,
yeah, I just turned 20.
It was pretty easy. Yeah. So, I mean, I've always had a joint account with my spouse, so I don't know other than.
Yeah. Well, Angel and I, we've been married 4 years now. Both had great relationships before, long relationships before. And, financially, there was never an option of a joint account. There's a joint account. And, people ask you when we got remarried, do you have a joint account? Sure, we do. Everything I own belongs to Angel, but that's an individual decision. Like everything I've got's hers. Her name's on everything. I'm on more stuff than my name's on, but I trust her. I married her. I love her. Is she perfect? No, she's close, but no. But I'm not perfect either. So every day, I told Angel we got married. Every day, we probably have to repent, forgive. We're still growing up. But financially, no, I trust. If I don't trust with money, then I don't trust with anything, because the love of money, that's the heart of all problems you're going to have in life. So if you don't trust the money, you're going to have a lot of other problems going to pop up. It's going to be like walking through a minefield every day of your life. What are you doing? What'd you do with that? Where'd you get that? Where'd you buy that? Why don't you get that? You can't do that. I trust you. Now, that means we're still going to talk openly. You know, I mean, I won't ask a question. But I don't know what else to say.
Well, I mean, I do pay the bills.
Yep.
Typically. But if Joe wants something, I mean, we just talk about it, and it's just.
We're both low maintenance, though. We're kind of an odd couple. We're pretty low maintenance. So.
Yeah. So it's just like. So
we've had it. Look, we're older. So we've had the money. We've had the stuff. We've had the houses. We've had it. Like, what is it? Well, one day it's all going to disappear. Two things last forever: the people of God and the Word of God. Everything else one day is going to disappear. It'll be a new heaven, new earth. So, got to watch where you put your priorities. It's not that big a deal. Humans, big deal. Word of God, big deal. Everything else, little deal. So, don't get too caught up in some of the stuff. So, you know, I like a vacation every now and then. I can drive a nice car, you know, that's paid for. Yeah, and so.
But if you have a spouse that's file bankruptcy a lot or has a history of not paying bills, I probably would not let them be in charge of paying the bills.
Nope.
Because you don't put a good person in a bad situation.
Thank you.
For example, you don't put someone that struggles with finances, you don't have them count the offering because you're making a good person vulnerable.
Yeah, you are.
So
it's happened too many times.
It really, really has. I mean, I think one person should. I think you should have some agreements, like over this amount of money, we'll have to agree on and talk about if you're going to spend it.
And if you need to get a third party, like your pastor, somebody said, say, here's what we're doing. You got any suggestions? But you're going to have to be in agreement as a couple.
Yeah. Do a budget together.
Yeah. Together, you know, so you, as long as you're in agreement together, I don't mind. You can do that. I can do this. But you know, I think y'all have the goal is to have a joint account. What is that? We're together on this thing. We're not together here. We're probably not together anywhere. So
that's your treasure is there. Your heart is also.
It's going to be a problem. So got to learn how to trust there. And like Angel said, you can't go back. There's no time machine. But anytime my daughter's got married, I made my future son-in-laws bring the last 12 months of canceled checks and put them on my desk. Because if I see where you're putting your money, I know where your heart is. If you've not spent any money on my daughter in the last 12 months, you spent more money on bass fishing, deer hunting. You don't love my daughter. You love deer and bass. So you don't need to marry my daughter. So you can tell where somebody's heart is, where their treasure is, the heart is the treasure. So what's important to you? Well, you're marrying this person. This person's important to me. What are we going to do? Give them everything. What if they go stupid? Well, God's still God. He can redeem. He can make me get back whatever I've lost or what somebody steals. You got to trust God. In every relationship, you're trusting God. And that makes the relationship a whole lot better, where you know, you're jumping every time someone walks through or blinking or wondering where they're at, wondering what they're doing. I wonder that. Just you trust them.
Now, I will tell you that my daughter, her husband pays their bills, and he always says to her, you need to come over here and learn this in case something ever happened to me.
It's good man.
So you would know what how to take care of
good
it.
Man.
Now, so far, she's resisted, but I keep encouraging her because, I mean, I think.
Wear it down, son. Wear it down.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's easy to let someone else take care of it.
I know.
But you do need to learn how to do it.
But Ainsley and I live long enough, we've seen couples lose a spouse. All of a sudden, they're lost like a goose in a snowstorm. They don't have a clue what they're doing. Why? You never learn, and you better learn about money because everybody needs it. Every day, yeah. You're going to need it.
Yeah, I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make sure you learn it together. It's a great project for you guys to do together. Guys, thank you so much for joining us again. We sure love you. We enjoy our times with you on
yes,
Monday.
Yes, we do, a lot.
We don't take it for granted that you take enough time to spend with us, so we feel honored about that.
Yes, we are very honored.
Thank you very much. Send in your questions and comments. If you have any need for some stuff to encourage you or some books or product, go to joemcgeeministries.com. We love you, and you have a wonderful week.
Bless you guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.